You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show.
Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the coronavirus. Starting tomorrow, NBA play is suspended. This is the last night of NBA games for the foreseeable future.
You can see right here the reaction from Mark Cuban.
This is crazy. This can't be true. I mean, it's not within the realm of possibilities. It's just, it seemed more like out of a movie than reality. I mean, I walked over to my wife. It's like, we send our kids to school tomorrow. You know, is it that big?
In a really short amount of time, we went from knowing nothing and taking almost zero precaution to really starting to address this. And so it feels like Rudy Gobert testing positive and leading to the NBA shutting down potentially saved thousands of lives.
The Michael K. Show.
Stay safe. Yes. Take care of each other. We get through this together. Together. Together.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a very, very good day. I want to tell you the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you, another 3 hours of the show until 7 o'clock. And we're thrilled now to talk to, I don't know if Don and Peter feel like this, but one of my favorite people. Forget about in this company. He's one of my favorite people. I just like the guy a lot. The great, talented, and extremely good-looking Scott Van Pelt. Scott, how are you?
I'm well, Michael. I think you're pretty good too. I don't know if I'd go that far, but you know, I have an affinity for you as well.
When he says extremely good-looking at the end, do you think he's just adding that on, and does it like almost nullify everything else?
Yeah, I mean, I have a mirrors in my house, Peter. Like, I know, you know. I know. At this point, he's just buttering me up. But that's all good. It's good to be back on with you boys.
How you doing? I know you had a little of a battle with this virus. Obviously things worked out, but was it a tough battle for you?
No, I gratefully, all the people that I know in my orbit that have had a positive test, it was incredibly mild. I mean, the only reason I knew I had anything, Michael, is because all of a sudden I couldn't smell or taste. And it was before Christmas, and I thought I better go get tested, and it was positive, and I was like, son of a gun. And I left my house because I got little kids, and I didn't want anybody to get sick, and I went down. My family has a home down at the beach. We've had my family forever. I just went and sat there by myself and waited until enough time passed. I never got a fever. I never had a cough. I never had anything. And I just waited for the time to pass, and I thankfully tested negative the day before Christmas. It was like the proverbial Christmas miracle. And
wow.
You know, I think I've taken it seriously. I wear masks. I don't go out and do crazy stuff. I'm not out in public. I don't fly on airplanes. Like, you know, I'm trying to keep myself safe, as we all have throughout this year. But anyway, I'm well, other than like the taste still hasn't come back really. And it's crazy how many people I know that have had that exact same thing where they're like, it's been months. And for me, it has been, and it's still not back. But, you know, all things considered, I mean, a very minor inconvenience.
But the smell has come back.
A little, but I mean, I don't know. I don't want to bore your listeners with this, but anybody that's had the same kind of thing probably has a similar deal with me. It's almost like if you were to look at a window and there's like 9 squares in a window, I feel like I can see out of like 5 of them, but not 4. And then that's what the smell and the taste are like. I feel like I can kind of taste salty things. I can sort of taste some sweet things. So it's a disaster because I eat bags of peanut M&Ms because it's like one of the few things I can taste. But it's baffling to me how like some things I can't really smell, other things I can, other things I can taste, and then whatever, man. It's a really minor thing.
I'll tell you what, you should get close to Don, because Don has an odor that would permeate that. It would
That's
cure it.
Not,
is it a musk? Would you say like a manly like musk?
A very manly musk. Don is very musky. Mm. He really is.
So, well, Scott, listen, you know Michael. You're more acquaintances than friends, right? And he basically just waxes poetic about your career and how unbelievable looking you are. Meanwhile, I've known this guy for 20 years. We've worked together for 19, and he tells the nation that I smell.
That is great.
You know what that is, though, Don. That's tough love. You know what that's just sort of. It's a tough love. You know,
when
push tough. Comes to shove, you know, you guys. He's your ace. He's got your back, right? But he's kind of got a
tough love implies he said it because I do stink, and that maybe I'll stop.
Do you stink?
No.
You don't have a musky smell. Is not that you stink. It's not like you're not clean. It's just it's.
But you made it up. But you made it up. Now hold on. I want to ask Scott one more thing related to your life. The change to the DC Sports Center, was that related? Did you go back to DC, the DC area, because of COVID, or was that just a move?
No, that and honestly, it never would have happened if we weren't so far down the road. Like, we were pot committed, as they say in poker. Like, I had asked a year ahead of time to try to be down in time for this fall for football. And it was a family move, just to get back home closer to mom and where I'm from. And I just, especially now, and even more so now after the fact, where so much of what we can do remotely. I just thought, well, why do I have to be here? I could be in the same studio Tony and Mike do PTI from in DC. And I was just we were way too far down the road to kind of pull the plug. I had bought a home. We were moving, and literally the bottom fell out in March and we were already on our way. So
wow.
this predated that. And we were incredibly lucky that we were already as far down the road as we were. Cause I'm sure ESPN said, hey, look, this really isn't the time.
Now, you're talking about when the bottom fell out. It's a year ago today that the world kind of changed, and you have a very extensive podcast about, you know, your life that day, and you're kind of the person that sports fans turn to, that you kind of walked us through what was going on. What was that day like, and what's the podcast about in terms of that?
Well, I asked Adrian Wojnarowski and Malik Andrews and Royce Young, who were the three main guests that night, along with my producer, whose name is Marco Alfandari, and our director, Joe Giuliano, the voices in my ear. And Michael, you know so well that they are, you have to implicitly trust the people who are trying to walk you through any broadcast, but particularly one that wasn't even scripted. We went up to just be what's called in our business a fill. We were supposed to just fill time in between one game and the next. Well, the nightcap, as you might remember, between the Pelicans and the Kings, the Pelicans said, we're not playing. So suddenly there was no game and we were just on the air, and we didn't have a rundown. We didn't know we were going to be on, and now we were on and we weren't going to commercial and, you know, breaks, because this news was massive, just truly seismic news. And I'm ping ponging back and forth to Woj and to Malika and to Royce, who's in the building as the Utah Jazz, you'll remember, are being essentially held in the locker room waiting to figure out what do we do.
Right.
And so, I mean, again, I defer, Michael, to your years doing this. We've both been incredibly fortunate, as everyone on your show has, to do really cool things and to make our living doing this. And there are few moments that will forever be something are clear in your mind. And being on the air and saying that the season is stopping and realizing what that meant and realizing we were the show that was delivering this news, it's a moment in time. You know, there's a permanence to that time. And so I wanted to reach out to them and ask, how do they remember that night? What do they remember vividly about it? And just kind of reconstruct it a year after the fact, because, you know, driving home, man, there was no doubt that everything had completely changed, and sports changed the way the country was taking this in terms of how serious they viewed it. Because, man, if the NBA can stop, well, then what else will? And then we found out pretty quickly most everything.
Did you have in your mind at all, Scott, how long this might last when you were driving home?
No. I almost made light of myself on SportsCenter last night, Don, just saying I remember thinking, oh, I mean, by the summer, yeah, we'll be good. I mean, remember, it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Oh, okay, sure. Well, as we know, getting everyone to do something in our country for 2 weeks proved to be a bridge too far, I should say. And so this No, I never would I imagine that a year after the fact we'd be having this conversation with things still as, I don't want to say uncertain, but still as restricted as they are. I do truly feel like between the vaccines and the way cases have declined that there is hope, there's optimism that we can clearly see. But I think we all now know that let's not just assume that it's next week. You know, let's be reasonable about you know, it might be maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a year, I don't know. But at least it feels like that's the direction it's going, whereas back a year ago, there was still so many blind spots and still so much uncertainty, but I was naive to think that it would be quick, and it clearly wasn't.
That's the part where I get kind of sad, Scott, is like thinking about those moments. I remember as WrestleMania was approaching last year, me and my friends who watch wrestling together were like, all right, well, they're not going to be fans for WrestleMania, but like, so what do you think the goal is? Like by SummerSlam, they'll definitely be fans back. And
exactly.
Then every marker you had, looking back, it makes me feel so bad for all of us. And now you look, and it's been a full year, and it's absolutely wild. I'll never get over it. It makes you realize nothing, anything is possible. Still, anything that, and
yeah,
frankly,
you're right.
We're lucky it wasn't worse.
I agree with all you're saying, Peter. And like, honestly, and we're Terps. I think people know that about us. Like Maryland had a team that had a chance.
Oh.
A lot of teams are going to look at last year and think of what might have been. But like. In my mind, I remember vividly, fellas, on Wednesday night, and Sean Farnham came up and he's like, I think we saw our last college game tonight. And I remember saying, no. And I was hoping, like I knew what he was saying was probably true, but I just, in my brain, I thought, well, there won't be fans, but they'll play it. Like, they got to play it. Well, we don't got to do anything, you know? And the number of things that didn't happen and were put on hold, in retrospect, is astounding. And I think it's an arrogance that we all probably have, and maybe us more so as Americans. I remember looking, and it's, you know, it was in China, and then it's European, and you're like, well, we've had lots of these little episodes, but they don't get to us, and they don't get to us to the degree that they're going to stop us from being us.
Yep.
Or a year later, here we are.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, you don't get to the level that you get to without, like, going over things. You want to be perfect. So have you watched what you did that night since that night? And is there anything that you would do differently? Or are you happy with the way it turned out in retrospect?
No, I didn't. I mean, I don't tape what I do. I mean, at this stage, I know what I look like on there and I know what I sound like. And I didn't. I know this. I know I was proud. I know I was proud of our group. And we received a lot of really kind praise afterwards that we were this, I laughed with, you know, the Will Leach, who's the former founder of Deadspin. He said I was like Walter Cronkite. And I sent him a note. I said, well, we've come a hell of a long way from you leaking voicemails on Deadspin 15 years ago of me to calling me Walter Cronkite. I mean, who'd have thunk it? But people were very complimentary of the fact that I tried to be measured. I tried to be calm. I tried to be as honest about, look, I don't know and you don't know and we don't have to know, but let's try to talk through these things. So, you know, a year after the fact, I didn't get to be on the air because I was great at it. I got to be on the air because I happened to be sitting there when it happened.
Right.
But I'm proud that we, I think and I hope, handled it with a measure of calm and as much clarity as we could muster. And, you know, again, a year later, it's really cool to be sitting in my office at my computer and looking at a ton of scores and thinking we get to go in tonight and do highlights and talk about sports because we did 4 months without him. And that was a steep hill to climb in our business. We steal money most of the time. We earned it last year.
Well said.
We talked about that earlier. I mean, we're very proud doing a four-hour show each day. For 4 months, we had no sports to talk about, and somehow we got through it. I'm sure that was not easy on a show that's built on highlights, too. So that could not have been an easy time.
No, and as we know, guys, I mean, there not only did we not have sports, and I know, I'm sure you hear as I do, there's a crowd out there that will tell you to stick to sports, and I get
yes.
it. We're a diversion, and I appreciate that. We try to be when we can. But there were some very significant moments in our country that happened while we didn't have sports, And when people told me to stick to them, I asked, which sports is it you'd have me stick to? Because I'm looking around and there aren't any. So it's fascinating. I mean, I think someday when we're, you know, really old and we're not doing this, I imagine we'll look back at this window in time and just shake our heads in amazement at what all it represented. Because it's, as they say, it's been a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, we have the post 9/11 world, right? Just the way we travel, yeah. Like certain things that we've now taken for granted over the last 20 years that fundamentally changed. How do you think it'll work with this? How do you think sports will be different moving forward?
I wonder when we'll see a true packed house. I wonder when we'll see, Yankee Stadium filled or the Garden filled. I wonder if people will be hesitant, you know. I think just the way we cover things will change. It'll make it easier for us. I laugh, fellas, you know, and it's different for you guys. You can pick up the phone and call in. But in our business on TV, you know, I can't get to a studio. I'm like, the hell you can't. You got a studio in your pocket. Turn that bad boy around and get on FaceTime.
Right.
You know, we have an ability to connect in a way that we kind of didn't use that avenue before. But I honestly don't know how, you know, I think people are going to work remotely more. I wonder about access for the media. I wonder how many teams will just say, hey, we don't want you in the locker room, how that will change the access to the athlete, as the athlete's so much more in control of his and her message now than ever before. I think that'll be probably different because I don't know if you get that ground back that teams have kind of taken. So that'll be interesting. But I think just from a fan's perspective, I think you say post 9/11, to me, one of the most vivid images I can think of in the history of my life in sports was George W. Bush on the mound in Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the city got knocked to its knees, and that guy stood on the mound and he threw a strike. And I don't care what your politics are, man. There's something incredibly American about the commander-in-chief throwing a strike and giving thumbs up, and it's like we're still here and we're going to keep on keeping on. And sports provided that place, right? And at some point, you know, sports will get back together in that arena, literally together, and I think it'll feel incredible when we do.
Well, the first full house will be April 5th in Arlington, Texas, Scott. 100% capacity.
Yeah, and meanwhile, hey, down the street from me, the Nationals Park, there's zero. Like I said that last night. We're still all over the map as a country. You want to see a game, go to Texas. Everybody can come. D.C., nobody. That part's baffling to me. Like, I don't know how we don't figure that part out, but I guess, I don't know. We still got some miles to cover, don't we, fellas?
I guess we
little
do.
Bit.
Let's check out Scott Van Pelt's podcast. It really is a great a snapshot of that day a year ago today, and we thank him. And before we let you go, are you as giddy as Peter about your Maryland team?
Well, I am today.
Scott, I meant today. Don't let him. Yeah, I haven't been giddy for 2 weeks. I'm giddy today.
No, I mean, look, we've been on a roller coaster, but today beating Michigan State and Tom Izzo for the second time in the last week and a half, I think there's now no doubt that you know Sunday you're not going to have to wonder if we'll see that logo on a line, and that's really all you want. You want to just think you're going to be in. So, I mean, honestly, this is a long answer, as they always are with me, Mike. But yes, today the sun is out. It's about 75 in D.C. and Maryland won. So, yes, I'm happy, unapologetically so.
There you go.
Beautiful. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Glad to hear you're feeling better. Hope you get the smell and the taste back. And, you know, we're big fans, so thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys, as always. I'm going to go look at myself and see if I see anything handsome in the mirror. I'm guessing not.
You know what? You're underselling those looks because, listen, you're a TV star. It's a visual medium.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's what. All right, see you. I'm gonna leave it there. Thank you, Wes.
Michael K. thinks I'm hot. Enjoy your day.
Hey, I got to bring this one quick thing up. So Georgetown beats Villanova today in the Big East at the Garden.
All right.
Yeah, there's a problem.
All right, so Villanova is a shell of itself. It's still a nice win, but, I mean, they're not winning a championship this year with the injuries that they have, two important people. But the head coach of Georgetown is Patrick Ewing, the original big fella, who kind of had a nice run at Madison Square Garden. Now, I always hate putting heat on people that are security people in arenas because they're not supposed to know everybody. I've seen people give, like, security people, do you know who I am? I've never uttered that phrase. I'd be mortified to utter it. How would they know who the announcers are? How would they know who the writers are? That's, you know, they're not much more than getting minimum wage for a thankless job. But if you're working at Madison Square Garden, you know that Patrick Ewing was stopped countless times today to look at his pass?
What do you mean countless times? How do we know that?
He said it. He said, and he even said, this is my house. He said, you think they should recognize me? And he wasn't being a jerk about it. The guy's 7'2". He's Patrick Ewing. His jersey number is up in the rafters of Madison Square Garden, and you don't know who the guy is. You got to stop him constantly to see his pass. I mean, that's almost like ineptitude.
I'm a little particularly confused by this because he's 7 feet tall.
Right.
Like, if you're hosting a basketball tournament and there's a nicely dressed 7 foot tall man, you don't think he's there with one of the programs?
Well, I'm just trying to, like, figure this out, right? You enter the arena in a bus.
Right.
That you're taken underneath Madison Square Garden, right? Right there on 33rd Street, you pull in, you go in, you come off the bus with the team. And then you go right to the dressing room. And then from the dressing room, you go to the court. I mean, how many places is he going where he's got to check his pass? Where would Patrick Ewing go? Like, rogue. He'd walk with his team to the dressing room. He'd walk with his team to the court. He'd walk with his team back to the dressing room. Like, is he trying to get, like, to the suites? I don't know where there would ever be a time where Patrick Ewing would be by himself away from the team where they'd have to check his pass.
And they did it several times, according to him. And I don't think he's big time of people. I mean, really, you're working at the Garden. Goodness, don't you know who Patrick Ewing is? You got to bother Patrick Ewing. Not that he's like a godlike figure, but he's an important part of that building's history.
He's a godlike figure at the Garden.
Yeah, it's very weird.
I might say he's the most godlike person ever at the Garden.
I guess if you stop Walt Frazier, you'd have to have your head examined too, but I'm sure he's been stopped.
Now there might be a policy, and they might be watching, so hey, you got to check everybody's pass, and if you don't check everybody's pass,
that's exactly it, Don. That's exactly it. But that's why I don't want to rip anybody,
right?
Because these poor people don't want to lose their job where, you know, some muckety-muck sees that they didn't check a pass of Patrick Ewing, they're going to get called on the carpet.
Now, the only thing that might cause an issue is if he didn't have a pass.
But of course he did.
He had to have a pass. Everybody on the team had a pass.
Yeah, it's strange because you know, I work at the Garden. I walk around the Garden. I don't get stopped everywhere that I go. I have my pass on. I'm sure there are people that check that I have the pass. They see it. They glance at it. They don't stop me to look at it. So the only way he would be stopped, I would think, is if he didn't have a pass.
But again, my point is, does he need a pass? His face
is
his pass.
Again,
I'm
going under the assumption that, because you've said this with the Yankees too, that guys, you have to check everybody's pass. And if a supervisor sees you don't check a pass, you get in trouble. You know,
I remember George Steinbrenner used to get mad if the people didn't check his pass. And he essentially owned the stadium and the team. But one of the funniest lines ever with this, I mean, Yankee Stadium, for many reasons, and I appreciate it, is one of the most secure places. There's security all over the place. It's a New York institution. There should be security. But they're separate at the old stadium. So Joel Sherman was at the post then, like he is now. And there were like 5 checkpoints within like 100 feet. And every checkpoint, you'd have to show your pass. Now, the only way you could get to that next checkpoint was to have had your pass checked. So Joel very obediently showed his pass, and then by the 5th time, right, he said, let's say I was a really bad guy. Don't you think I should get some credit for getting to this point? Think about it. I mean, you've gotten through 4 checkpoints, and there's no other way to get to the 5th checkpoint than to get through the 4. What could have happened between checkpoint number 4 and 5? So, I mean, sometimes there's over-security. Sometimes there's too much security. I prefer too much. But when Patrick Ewing is getting his pass checked at Madison Square Garden, somebody dropped the ball. I mean, the supervisor of the security at the Garden should kind of get everybody, okay, this is Patrick Ewing. This is a picture of Patrick Ewing. Don't bother him.
Yeah, by the way, if they did a list of 10 people's faces we really need you to remember, this could solve a lot of problems. Because Patrick's in the top 5.
Right.
It's not that many.
And you know, by the way, he's going to be there.
you want Ewing on the list. You want Dolan on the list. It would be awkward to stop Dolan. We could avoid problems if you have Spike Lee on the list. There's not that many people that you pretty much know are good here. But come on, Patrick Ewing, that's tough.
Patrick Ewing. I mean, he should just have King Wally with him. Who are you? Patrick Ewing, the way they used to introduce him. All right, we'll take a brief timeout. 1-800-919-3776. Big day in Florida. Garrett Cole pitched 5 very strong innings. Struck out 5, looked very, very good. Home run by Aaron Hicks. Luke Voit got on base. Looked like a little bit of a stiff knee the other day, but seems like he's okay. We'll talk to everybody about everything. That's what we're about. And at 5 o'clock, the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman. So stick around for that. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.